More let her sag to the floor this time. "What in hell?" Helion began. But Rhys hauled his body off mine, his tan face draining of color, his lips going bloodless as he stared southward. Far, far southward. I felt his magic spear from him, a shooting star across the land. And when he looked back at us, his eyes went right to me. It was the fear in them. The sorrow and fear that made my mouth go wholly dry. That made my blood run cold. Rhys swallowed. Once. Twice. Then he declared hoarsely, "The King of Highburn just used the cauldron to attack the wall." Murmuring. Some gasps. Rhys swallowed a third time, and the ground slid out from under me as he clarified. "The wall is gone, shattered, across Prithian and on the continent." He said it again, as if convincing himself. We were too late. Too slow. Highburn just destroyed the wall. Chapter 49. Nesta's connection to the cauldron, Rhys mused as we gathered around the dining table in the townhouse, had allowed her to sense that the King of Highburn was rallying its power. The same way I was able to wield the connection to the High Lords to track their traces of power and to find the book and cauldron, Nesta's own power, own immortality, was so closely bound to the cauldron that its dreadful presence, when awoken, brushed through her, too. That was why he hunted her. Not just for the power she'd taken, but for the fact that Nesta was a warning bell. We'd all departed the Dawn Court within minutes, Beeson promising large shipments of Fabane antidote to every High Lord and army within 2 days, and that his peregrines would begin readying themselves under his captain's command to join the Illyrians in the skies. Calais and Helion swore their own terrestrial armies would march as soon as possible. Only Tamlin, whose southern border covered the entire wall, was unaccounted for. His armies in shambles. Helion just said to Tamlin before the latter left, "Get your people out. Bring whatever host you can muster." Whatever remained after me. Tarquin echoed the sentiment, along with his promise to offer safe harbor for the Spring Court. Tamlin didn't reply to either of them, didn't confirm that he would be bringing forces before he winnowed, without a glance at me. A small relief, since I hadn't decided whether to demand his sworn help or spit on him. Goodbyes were brief. Vivian had embraced more tightly than me, to my surprise. Calais only clasped Rhys's hand, a taut, tentative gesture, and vanished with his mate. Then Helion, with a wink at all of us. Tarquin was the last to go, Therion and Cressida flanking him. His armada, they'd decided, would be left to guard his own cities while the bulk of his soldiers would march on land. Tarquin's crushing blue eyes flared, as his power rallied to winnow them, but Therion said to me, to Rhys, "Tell her thank you." He put a hand on his chest, the fine gold and silver thread of his teal jacket glinting in the morning sun. "Tell her." The Prince of Adriada shook his head. "I'll tell her myself the next time I see her." It seemed like more of a promise, that Varian would see Amryn again, war or no. Then they were gone. No word arrived from Baron before we uttered our farewells and gratitude to Theseon. Not a whisper that Baron might have changed his mind, or that Aerys might have persuaded him. But that was not my concern, or Nesta's. If the wall had come down... Too late. We'd been too late. All of that research. I should have insisted that if Amryn deemed Nesta nearly ready, then we should have gone directly to the wall, seen what she could do, spell from the book or no. Perhaps it was my fault, for wanting to shelter her, build her strength, for letting her remain withdrawn. But if I had pushed and pushed... Even now, seated around the townhouse dining table in Valaris, I hadn't decided whether the potential of breaking my sister permanently was worth the cost of saving lives. I didn't know how Rhys and the others had made such decisions. For years. Especially during Amarantha's reign. "We should have evacuated months ago," Nesta said, her plate of roast chicken and vegetables untouched. It was the first words any of us had spoken in minutes, while we'd all picked at our food. Elaine had been told by Amryn. She now sat at the table, more straight-backed and clear-eyed than I'd seen her. Had she beheld this, in whatever wanderings that new inner sight granted her? Had the cauldron whispered of it while we'd been away? I hadn't the heart to ask her. Rhys was saying to Nesta, "We can go to your estate tonight, evacuate your household, and bring them back here." "They will not come." "Then they will likely die." Nesta straightened her fork and knife beside her plate. "Can't you spirit them away somewhere south? Far from here?" "That many people? Not without first finding a safe place, which would take time we don't have."
Rhys considered.
"If we get a ship, they can sail."
"They will demand their families and friends come."
A beat of silence. Not an option. Then Elaine said quietly,
"We could move them to Grayson's estate."
We all faced her at the evenness of her voice. She swallowed, her slender throat so pale, and explained,
"His father has high walls, made of thick stone, with space for plenty of people and supplies."
All of us made a point not to look at the ring she still wore. Elaine went on.
"His father has been planning for something like this for a long time. They have defenses, stores."
A shallow breath.
"And a grove of ash trees, with a cachet of weapons made from them."
A snarl from Cassian. "Despite their power, their might. However those trees had been created, something in the ash wood cut right through Fae defenses. I'd seen it firsthand. Killed one of Tamlin's sentinels with an arrow through the throat."
"If the fairies who attack possess magic," Cassian said, and Elaine recoiled at the harsh tone. "Then thick stone won't do much."
"There are escape tunnels," Elaine whispered. "Perhaps it is better than nothing."
A glance between the Illyrians.
"We can set up a guard," Cassian began.
"No,"
Elaine interrupted, her voice louder than I'd heard in months.
"They... Grayson and his father..."
Cassian's jaw tightened.
"Then we cloak."
"They have hounds. Bred and trained to hunt you. Detect you."
A stiff silence as my friends contemplated how, exactly, those hounds had been trained.
"You can't mean to leave their castle undefended."
Cassian tried a shade more gently.
"Even with the ash, it won't be enough. We'd need to set wards, at the very minimum."
Elaine considered.
"I can speak to him."
"No," I said, at the same moment Nesta did. But Elaine cut us off.
If you and... they...
A glance at Rhys, my friends.
"Come with me. Your fae scents might distract the dogs."
"Your fae, too," Nesta reminded her.
"Glamour me," Elaine said to Rhys. "Make me look human. Just long enough to convince him to open his gates to those seeking sanctuary. Perhaps even let you set those wards around the estate."
And with our scents to confuse the hounds... "This could end very badly, Elaine."
She brushed her thumb over the iron and diamond engagement ring. It's already ended badly. Now it's just a matter of deciding how we meet the consequences.
Wisely said, Moore offered, smiling softly at Elaine. She looked to Cassian. You need to move the Illyrian legions today.
Cassian nodded but said to Rhys,
With the wall down, we need you to make a few things clear to the Illyrians. I need you to go to the camp with me, to give one of your pretty speeches before we go.
Rhys's mouth twitched toward a smile.
We can all go, then head to the human lands.
He surveyed us, the townhouse. We have an hour to prepare. Meet back here, then we leave. Moore and Asriel instantly winnowed out, Cassian striding for Rhys to ask him about the Court of Nightmares, soldiers, and their preparation. Nesta and I aimed for Elaine, both of us speaking at once.
Are you sure?
I demanded at the same time Nesta said, I can go. Let me talk to him. Elaine only rose to her feet.
He doesn't know you, she said to me.
Then she faced Nesta with a frank, bemused look.
And he hates you.
Some rotten part of me wondered if their broken engagement was for the best then, or if Elaine had somehow suggested this visit, right after Lucian had left Prithian, for some chance to... I didn't let myself finish the thought. I said, watching the space where my friends had vanished from the townhouse, I need you to understand, Elaine, that if this goes badly, if he tries to harm you or any of us...
I know. You will defend your own.
I will defend you. The vacancy fogged over her eyes, but Elaine lifted her chin.
No matter what, don't kill him. Please.
We'll try. Swear it. I'd never heard that tone from her. Ever.
I can't make that promise.
I wouldn't back down, not on this. But I will do everything in my power to avoid it.
Elaine seemed to realize it, too.
She peered down at herself, at the simple blue gown she wore.
I need to dress.
I'll help you, Nesta offered.
But Elaine shook her head.
Nuala and Caridwen will help me.
Then she was gone, shoulders a little squarer. Nesta's throat bobbed.
I murmured, It wasn't your fault, but the wall came down before we could stop it.
Steel-filled eyes cut to me. If I had stayed to practice,
then you just would have been here while you waited for us to return from the meeting.
Nesta smoothed a hand down her dark dress.
What do I do now?
A purpose, I realized. Assigning her the task of finding a way to repair the holes in the wall, it had given my sister what perhaps our human lives had never granted her. A bearing.
You come with us, to Grayson's estate, and then travel with the army. If you're connected with the cauldron, then we'll need you close. Need you to tell us if it's being wielded again.
Not quite a mission, but Nesta nodded all the same.
Right as Cassian clapped Rhys on the shoulder and prowled toward us. He paused a foot away and frowned.
Dresses aren't good for flying, ladies.
Nesta didn't reply. He lifted a brow.
No barking and biting today.
But Nesta didn't rise to meet him, her face still drained and sallow.
I've never worn pants, was all she said.
I could have sworn concern flashed across Cassian's features, but he brushed it aside and drawled,
I have no doubt you'd start a riot if you did.
No reaction.
Had the cauldron...
Cassian stepped in Nesta's path when she tried to walk past him, put a tan, calloused hand on her forehead. She shook off the touch, but he gripped her wrist, forcing her to meet his stare.
Any one of those human pricks makes a move to hurt you, he breathed. And you kill them.
He wouldn't be coming. No, he'd be mustering the full might of the Illyrian legions. Asriel would be joining us, though. Cassian pressed one of his knives into Nesta's hand.
Ash can kill you now, he said, with lethal quiet as she stared down at the blade. A scratch can make you queasy enough to be vulnerable. Remember where the exits are in every room, every fence, and courtyard. Mark them when you go in, and mark how many men are around you. Mark where Rhys and the others are. Don't forget that you're stronger and faster. Aim for the soft parts, he added, folding her fingers around the hilt. And if someone gets you into a hold...
My sister said nothing as Cassian showed her the sensitive areas on a man. Not just the groin, but the inside of the foot, pinching the thigh, using her elbow like a weapon. When he finished, he stepped back, his hazel eyes churning with some emotion I couldn't place. Nesta surveyed the fine dagger in her hand, then lifted her head to look at him.
I told you to come to training, Cassian said with a cocky grin, and strode off.
I studied Nesta, the dagger, her quiet, still face.
Don't even start, she warned me, and headed for the stairs.
I found Amryn in her apartment, cursing at the book. We're leaving within the hour, I said. Do you have everything you need here? Yes. Amryn lifted her head, those up-tilted silver eyes swirling with ire. Not at me, I realized with no small relief, at the fact that Highburn had beaten us to the wall. Beaten her. That wasn't my problem. Not as the words of that meeting with the High Lords eddied. Not as I again saw Baron walk out, no soldiers or help promised. Not as I heard Rhys and Cassian discussing how few soldiers the others possessed compared to Highburn's forces. The king's taunt to Rhys had been roiling through my mind for days now. Highburn expected him to give everything, everything, to stop them. Had claimed only that would give us a fighting shot. And I knew my mate, perhaps better than I knew myself. I knew Rhys would spend all of himself, destroy himself if it meant a chance at winning. At survival. The other High Lords. I couldn't afford to risk counting on them. Helion, strong as he was, wouldn't even step in to save his own lover. Tarquin, perhaps. But the others? I didn't know them. Didn't have time to. And I would not gamble their tentative allegiance. I would not gamble Rhys. What do you want? Amryn snapped when I remained staring at her. There is a creature beneath the library. Do you know it? Amryn shut the book.
Its name is Bryaxis.
What is it?
You do not want to know, girl.
I shoved back the arm of my ebony dress, the finery so at odds with the loft, its messiness. I made a bargain with it. I showed her the band of tattoo around my forearm. So I suppose I do. Amryn stood, brushing dust off her gray pants.
I heard about that.
Foolish girl. I had no choice, and now we are bound to each other.
And what of it?
I want to ask it for another bargain. I need you to examine the wards holding it down there, and to explain things. I didn't bother to look pleasant, or desperate, or grateful. I didn't bother to wipe the cold, hard mask from my face as I added, You're coming with me. Right now.
Chapter 50 There was no priestess waiting to lead us into the black pit at the heart of the library, and Amryn for once kept quiet. We reached that bottom level, that impenetrable dark, our steps the only sound. I want to talk to you, I said into the blackness, beckoning beyond the end of the light leaking down from high above.
One does not summon me,
I summon you. I'm here to offer you company, as part of our bargain.
Silence. Then, I felt it, snaking and curling around us, gobbling up the light. Amryn swore softly.
You brought... What is it you brought?
Someone like you. Or you could be like them.
You speak in riddles.
A cool, insubstantial hand brushed against my nape, and I tried not to inch back toward the light. Bryaxis. Your name is Bryaxis, and someone locked you down here a long time ago. The darkness paused. I'm here to offer you another bargain. Amryn remained still and silent, as I'd told her to, offering me a single nod of confirmation. She could indeed sever the wards holding Bryaxis down here, when the time was right. There is a war, I said, fighting to keep my voice steady. A terrible war, about to break across the land. If I can free you, will you fight for me? For me and my High Lord? The thing, Bryaxis, did not reply. I nudged Amryn with my elbow. She said, her voice as young and old as the creature's, We will offer you freedom from this place in exchange for it. A bargain. A simple, powerful magic. As great as any the book could muster.
This is my home.
I considered. Then what is it you want in exchange? Silence.
Sunlight. And moonlight. The stars.
I opened my mouth to say I wasn't entirely sure that even as High Lady of the Night Court I could promise such things. But Amryn stepped on my foot and murmured, A window. High above. Not a mirror, as the carver wanted, but a window in the mountain. We'd have to carve far, far up, but... That's it? Amryn stomped on my foot this time. Bryaxis whispered in my ear,
Will I be able to hunt without restraint on the battlefields? Drink in their fear and dread until I am sated?
I felt slightly bad for Highburn as I said, Yes, only Highburn, and only until the war is over. One way or another. A beat of silence.
What would you have me do, then?
I gestured to Amryn. She will explain. She will disable the wards when we need you.
Then I will wait.
Then it's a bargain. You will obey our orders in this war. Fight for us until we no longer need you, and in exchange, we shall bring the sun and moon and stars to you. In your home. Another prisoner who had come to love its cell. Perhaps Bryaxis and the Carver should meet. An ancient death god in the face of nightmares. The painting, dreadful yet alluring, began to creep roots deep within my mind. I kept my shoulders loose, posture as casual as I could summon, while the darkness slid around me, winding between me and Amryn, and whispered into my ear,
It is a bargain.
I made the hour count. When we all gathered in the townhouse foyer once more to winnow to the Illyrian camp, I changed into my fighting leathers, my new tattoo concealed beneath. No one asked where I'd gone, though Moore looked me over and said, Where's Amryn? Still poring over the book, I answered, just as Rhys winnowed into the townhouse. Not a lie. Amryn would stay here until we needed her at the battlefields. Rhys angled his head.
Looking for what? The wall is gone.
For anything, I said. For another way to nullify the cauldron that doesn't involve the insides of my head leaking out through my nose. Rhys cringed and opened his mouth to object, but I cut him off. There must be another way. Amryn thinks there must be another way. It doesn't hurt to look, and have her hunt for any other spell that might stop the king. And when Amryn was not doing that, she'd bring down those complex wards containing Bryaxis beneath the library, to be severed only when I called for Bryaxis, only when the might of Highburn's army was fully upon us. If I could not get the Ouroboros for the Carver, then Bryaxis was better than nothing. I wasn't entirely certain why I didn't mention it to the others. Rhys's eyes flickered, no doubt warring with the idea of what role any other route would require of me in regard to the cauldron. But he nodded. I interlaced my fingers with his, and he squeezed once. Behind me, Moore took Nesta and Cassian by the hand, readying to winnow them to the camp, while shadows gathered around Azriel, Elaine at his side, wide-eyed at the spymaster's display. But we hesitated. All of us. And I allowed myself one last time to drink it in. The furniture and the wood and the sunlight. To listen to the sounds of Alaris. The laughing of children in the streets. The song of the gulls. In the silence, I knew my friends were, too. Rhys cleared his throat and nodded to Moore. Then he was gone, Cassian and Nesta with her. Then Azriel, gently taking Elaine's hand in his own, as if afraid his scars would hurt her. Alone with Rhys, I savored the buttery sunshine leaking in from the windows of the front door, breathed in the smell of the bread Nuala and Caradwyn had baked that morning with Elaine. "The creature in the library?" I murmured. "Its name is Bryaxis." Rhys lifted a brow. "Oh?" "I offered it a bargain. To fight for us." Stars danced in those violet eyes.
"And what did Bryaxis say?"
"Only that it wants a window. To see the stars and moon and sun."
"You did explain that we needed to slaughter our enemies, didn't you?"
I nudged him with a hip. "The library is its home. It only wanted some adjustments made to it." A crooked smile tugged on Rhys's mouth.
"Well, I suppose if I now have to redecorate my own lodgings to match Theseus's splendor, I might as well add a window for the poor thing."
I elbowed him in the ribs that time. He still wore his finery from the meeting. Rhys chuckled.
"So, our army grows by one. Poor Cassian will never recover when he sees his newest recruit."
"With any luck, Highburn won't either."
"And the Carver?"
"He can rot down there. I don't have time for his games. Bryaxis will have to be enough." Rhys glanced at my arm, as if he could see the new second band beside the first one. He lifted our joined hands and pressed a kiss to the back of my palm. Again, we silently looked around the townhouse, taking in every last detail, the quiet that now lay like a layer of dust upon it. Rhys said softly,
"I wonder if we'll see it again."
I knew he wasn't just talking about the house, but I rose up on my toes and kissed his cheek. "We will," I promised, as a dark wind gathered to sweep us to the Illyrian war camp. I held tightly to him as I added, "We'll see it all again." And when that night-kissed wind winnowed us away, away into war, away into untold danger, I prayed that my promise held true. Part 3. High Lady. Chapter 51. Even at the height of summer, the Illyrian mountain camp was damp, brisk. There were some truly lovely days, Rhys assured me when I scowled as we winnowed in, but cooler weather was better anyway, when an army was involved. Heat made tempers rise, especially when it was too hot to sleep comfortably. And considering the Illyrians were a testy lot to begin with, it was a blessing that the sky was cloudy and the wind mist-kissed. But even the weather wasn't enough to make the greeting party look pleasant. I only recognized one of the muscle-bound Illyrians in full armor waiting for us, Lord Devlin. The sneer was still on his face, though milder compared to the outright contempt contorting the features of a few. Like Azriel and Cassian, they possessed dark hair and eyes of assorted hazel and brown. And like my friends, their skin was rich shades of golden brown, some flecked with bone-white scars of varying severity. But unlike my friends, one or two siphons adorned their hands. The seven Azriel and Cassian wore seemed almost vulgar by comparison. But the gathered males only looked at Rhys, as if the two Illyrians flanking him were little more than trees. Mor and I remained on either side of Nesta, who had changed into a dark blue practical dress, and now surveyed the camp, the winged warriors, the sheer size of the host assembled in the camp around us. We kept Elaine half-hidden behind the wall of our bodies. Considering the backward view of the Illyrians toward females, I'd suggested we remain a step away on this meeting. Literally. There were only a few female fighters in the Legion. Now was not the time to test the tolerance of the Illyrians. Later. Later, if we won this war. If we survived. Devlin was speaking.
It's true, then. The wall came down.
A temporary failure, Rhys crooned. He was still wearing his fine jacket and pants from the meeting with the High Lords. For whatever reason, he hadn't chosen to wear the Illyrian leathers, or the wings. It's because they already know I trained with them, am one of them. They need to remember that I'm also their High Lord, and I have no intention of loosening the leash. The words were a silk-covered scrape of nails down my mind. Rhys began giving unwavering, cold instructions about the impending push southward. The voice of the High Lord. The voice of a warrior who had fought in the war and had no intention of losing this one. Cassian frequently added his own orders and clarifications. Azriel just stared them all down. He had not wanted to come to the camp months ago. Disliked being back here. Hated these people. His heritage. The other lords kept glancing to the Shadow Singer in dread and rage and disgust. He only leveled that lethal gaze back at them. On and on they went, until Devlin looked over Rhys's shoulder, to where we stood. A scowl at Mor, a frown at me, wisely subdued. Then he noticed Nesta. "What is that?" Devlin asked. Nesta merely stared at him, one hand clamping the edges of her gray cloak together at her chest. One of the other camp lords made some sign against evil.
"That," Cassian said too quietly, "is none of your concern."
"Is she a witch?"
I opened my mouth, but Nesta said flatly, "Yes." And I watched as 9 full-grown, weathered Illyrian warlords flinched.
"She may act like one sometimes," Cassian clarified. "But no, she is High Fae."
"She is no more High Fae than we are," Devlin countered. A pause that went on for too long. Even Rhys seemed at a loss for words. Devlin had complained when we'd first met that Amarin and I were other. As if he possessed some sense for such things. Devlin muttered,
"Keep her away from the females and children."
I clutched Nesta's free hand in silent warning to remain quiet. Mor let out a snort that made the Illyrian stiffen, but she shifted, revealing Elaine behind her. Elaine was just blinking, wide-eyed at the camp, the army. Devlin let out a grunt at the sight of her, but Elaine wrapped her own blue cloak around herself, averting her eyes from all of those towering, muscled warriors, the army camp bustling toward the horizon. She was a rose bloom in a mud field, filled with galloping horses. "Don't be afraid of them," Nesta said beneath lowered brows. If Elaine was a blooming flower in this army camp, then Nesta... She was a freshly forged sword, waiting to draw blood. Take them into our war tent,
Rhys said silently to me.
Devlin honestly might throw a hissy fit if he has to face Nesta for another minute.
I'd pay good money to see that.
So would I.
I hid my smile. Let's find something warm to drink, I said to my sisters, beckoning Moore to join. We aimed for the largest of the tents in the camp, a black banner sewn with a mountain and three silver stars flapping from its apex. Warriors and females laboring around the fires silently monitored us.
Nesta stared them all down. Elaine kept her focus on the dry, rocky ground.
The tent's interior was simple yet luxurious. Thick carpets covered the low wooden platform on which the tent had been erected to keep out the damp. Braziers of fey lights flickered throughout. Chairs and a few chaise lounges were scattered around, covered in thick furs. A massive desk, with several chairs, occupied one half of the main space, and behind a curtain in the back, I assume our bed waited. Moore flung herself onto the nearest chaise.
Welcome to the Illyrian war camp, ladies. Try to keep your awe contained.
Nesta drifted toward the desk, the maps atop it. What is the difference, she asked, none of us in particular, between a fairy and a witch?
Witches amass power beyond their natural reserve, Moore answered with sudden seriousness. They use spells and archaic tools to harness more power to them than the cauldron allotted, and use it for whatever they desire, good or ill.
Elaine silently surveyed the tent, head tipping back. Her mass of heavy brown gold hair shifted with the movement, the fey light dancing among the silken strands. She'd left it half up, the style arranged to hide her ears, should the glamours fail at Grayson's estate. Tamlin's hadn't worked on Nesta. Perhaps Grayson and his father would have a similar immunity to such things. Elaine at last slid into the chair near Moore's, her dawn pink dress, finer than the ones she usually wore, crinkling beneath her.
Will many of the soldiers die?
I cringed, but Nesta said, yes. I could almost see the unspoken words Nesta reined in. Your mate might die sooner than them, though. Moore said,
whenever you're ready, Elaine, I'll glamour you.
Will it hurt? Elaine asked.
It didn't when Tamlin glamoured your memories, Nesta said, leaning against the desk.
Moore still said,
no, it might tingle. Just act as you would as a human.
It's the same as how I act now, Elaine began, wringing her slender fingers.
Yes, I said, but try to keep the vision talk to yourself, while we're there.
I added quickly, unless it's something that you can't.
I can, Elaine said, squaring her slim shoulders. I will.
Moore smiled tightly.
Deep breath.
Elaine obeyed. I blinked, and it was done. Gone was the faint glow of immortal health, the face that had become a bit sharper. Gone were the pointed ears, the grace. Muted. Drab. Or, in the way that someone as beautiful as Elaine could be drab, even her hair seemed to have lost its luster. The gold now brassy, the brown mousy. Elaine studied her hands, turning them over.
I hadn't realized how ordinary it looked.
You're still lovely, Moore said a bit gently. Elaine offered a half-smile.
I suppose that war makes wanting things like that unimportant.
Moore was quiet for a heartbeat.
Perhaps, but you should not let war steal it from you regardless.
Elaine's palm was clammy in mine as Rhys winnowed us into the human lands, Moore taking Asriel and Nesta. And though her face was calm when we found ourselves blinking at the heat and sunshine of a full mortal summer,
Her grip on my hand was as strong as the iron ring around her finger. The heat lay heavy over the estate we now faced. The stone guardhouse, the only opening I could see in either direction. The only opening in the towering stone wall rising up before us, solid as some mammoth beast, so high I had to crane my neck back to spy the spikes jutting from its top. The guards at the thick iron gates. Rhys slid his hands into his pockets, a shield already around us. Mor and Asriel took up defensive positions at our sides. 12 guards at this gate, all armed, faces hidden beneath thick helmets, despite the heat. Their bodies were equally covered in plated armor, right down to their boots. Any of us could end their lives without lifting a hand, and the wall they guarded, the gates they held, I didn't think they would last long either. But if we could place wards here, perhaps set up a bastion of Fey warriors. Through those open gates, I glimpsed sprawling lands, fields and pastures and groves, and a lake. And beyond it, a solid, bulky fortress of dark brown stone. Nesta had been right. It was like a prison, this place. Its lord had prepared to weather the storm from inside, a king over these resources. But there was room. Plenty of room for people. And the would-be mistress of this prison. Head high, Elaine said to the guards, to the dozen arrows now pointed at her slender throat, "Tell Grayson that his betrothed has come for him. Tell him that Elaine Archeron begs for sanctuary." Chapter 52. We waited outside the gates while a guard mounted a horse and galloped down the long, dusty road to the fortress itself. A second curtain wall lay around the bulky building. With our face sight, we could see as those gates opened, then another pair. "How did you even meet him?" I murmured to Elaine as we lingered beneath the shade of the looming oaks outside the gate. "If he's locked up in here..." Elaine stared and stared at the distant fortress. "At a ball. His father's ball."
"I've been to funerals that were merrier," Nesta muttered. Elaine cut her a look.
"This house has needed a woman's touch for years." Neither of us said that it didn't seem likely she would be the one. Asriel kept a few steps away, little more than the shade of one of the oaks behind us. But Mor and Rhys, they monitored everything. The guards whose fear, the salty, sweaty tang of it grated on every nerve. But they held firm, held those ash-tipped arrows at us. Long minutes passed. Then, finally, a yellow flag was raised at the distant fortress gates. We braced ourselves, but one of the guards before us grunted,
"He'll come out to see you."
We were not to be allowed within the keep, to see their defenses, their resources. The guardhouse was as far as they'd allow us. They led us inside, and though we tried to keep our otherness to a minimum, the hounds leashed to the walls within snarled, viciously enough that the guards let them out. The main room of the guardhouse was stuffy and cramped. More so with all of us in there, and though I offered Elaine a seat by the sealed window, she remained standing, at the front of our company, staring at the shut iron door. I knew Rhys was listening to every word the guards uttered outside, his tendrils of power waiting to sense any turn in their intentions. I doubted the stone and iron of the building could hold any of us, certainly not together, but letting them shut us in here to wait... It rubbed against some nerve, made my body restless, a cold sweat breaking out. "Too small. Not enough air."
"It's all right," Rhys soothed. "This place cannot hold you."
I nodded, though he hadn't spoken, trying to swallow the feeling of the walls and ceiling pushing on me. Nesta was watching me carefully. I admitted to her, "Sometimes I have problems with small spaces." Nesta studied me for a long moment, and then she said with equal quiet that we could all hear, "I can't get into the bathtub anymore. I have to use buckets." I hadn't known. Hadn't even thought that bathing, submerging in water. I knew better than to touch her hand, but I said, "When we get home, we'll install something else for you." I could have sworn there was gratitude in her eyes, that she might have said something else when horses approached. 2 dozen guards, Asriel murmured to Rhys, a glance at Elaine, and Lord Grayson and his father, Lord Nolan. Elaine went still as a doe as footsteps crunched outside. I caught Nesta's eye, read the understanding there, and nodded. Any attempt to hurt Elaine. I didn't care what I had promised my sister. I'd leave Nesta to shred him. Indeed, my eldest sister's fingers had curled, as if invisible talons crowned them. But the door banged open, and the panting young man was so human-looking. Handsome, brown-haired, blue-eyed, but human. Solidly built beneath his light armor. Tall, perhaps a mortal ideal of a knight who would swoop a beautiful maiden onto his horse and ride off into the sunset. So at odds from the savage strength of the Illyrians, the cultivated lethalness of Mor and Amrin, from my own clawing and shredding, and Nesta's. But a small sound came out of Elaine as she beheld Grayson, as he gasped for breath, scanning her from head to toe. He staggered toward her a step. A broad, scar-flecked hand gripped the back of Grayson's armor, hauling him to a stop. The man who had held the young lord fully entered the cramped room. Tall and thin, hawk-nosed and gray-eyed.
"What is the meaning of this?"
We all stared at him beneath lowered brows. Elaine was shaking. "Sir, Lord Nolan." Words failed her as she again looked at her betrothed, who had not taken his earnest blue eyes from her, not for a heartbeat. "The wall has come down," Nesta said, stepping to Elaine's side. Grayson looked to Nesta at that. Shock flared at what he beheld. The ears, the beauty, the otherworldly power that thrummed around her.
"How?"
he said, his voice low and raspy. "I was kidnapped," Nesta answered coolly, not one flicker of fear in her eyes. "I was taken by the army invading these lands, and turned, against my will."
"How?"
Nolan echoed. "There is a cauldron, a weapon. It grants its owner power to do such things. I was a test." Nesta then launched into a sharp, short explanation of the Queen's, of Highburn, of why the wall had fallen. When she finished, Lord Nolan only demanded,
"And who are your companions?"
It was a gamble. We knew it was. To say who we were, when we knew full well the terror of any fae, let alone high lords. But I stepped forward. "My name is Feyre Archeron. I am High Lady of the Night Court. This is Rhysand, my husband." I doubted mate would go over well as a term. Rhys came to my side. Some of the guards shifted and murmured with terror. Some flinched at the hand Rhys lifted, to gesture behind him.
"Our third in command, Morgan, and our spymaster Asriel."
Lord Nolan, to his credit, didn't blanch. Grayson did, but remained steady. "Elaine," Grayson breathed.
"Elaine, why are you with them?"
"Because she is our sister," Nesta answered, her fingers still curled with those invisible talons. "And there is no safer place for her during this war than with us."
Elaine whispered, Grayson, we've come to beg you. A pleading glance at his father. Both of you, open your gates to any humans who can get here, to families. With the wall down, they believe there is not enough time for an evacuation. The Queens will not send aid from the continent, but here, they might stand a chance.
Neither man responded, though Grayson now looked at Elaine's engagement ring. His blue eyes rippled with pain.
I would be inclined to believe you, he said quietly, if you were not lying to me with your every breath.
Elaine blinked.
I am not, I...
Did you think?
Lord Nolan said, and Nesta and I closed ranks around Elaine as he took a step toward us.
That you could come to my house and deceive me with your fairy magic?
Rhys said, We don't care what you believe. We only came to ask you to help those who cannot defend themselves.
At what gain? What risk of your own?
You have an arsenal of ash weapons, I said. I'd think the risk to us is apparent.
And to your sister as well,
Nolan spat toward Elaine.
Don't forget to include her.
Any weapon can hurt a mortal, Moore said blandly.
But she isn't a mortal, is she?
Nolan sneered.
No. I have it on good authority that it was Elaine Archeron who was turned fae first, and who now has a High Lord's son as a mate.
And who exactly told you this? Rhys said with a lift of the brow, not showing 1 ounce of ire of surprise. Steps sounded. But we all went for our weapons as Jurian strolled into the guardhouse and said,
I did.
Chapter 53 Jurian held up his tanned hands, new calluses dotting his palms and fingers. New, for the remade body he'd had to train to handle weapons these months.
I came alone, Jurian said. You can stop snarling.
Elaine began shaking, either at the truth revealed or the memories that pelted her, pelted Nesta at the sight of him. Jurian inclined his head to my sisters.
Ladies? They are no ladies,
Lord Nolan sneered. Father, Grayson warned. Nolan ignored him.
Upon his arrival, Jurian explained what had been done to you, both of you, what the queens on the continent desire.
And what is that?
Rhys asked, his voice a deceptive croon.
Power, youth,
Jurian said with a shrug.
The usual things.
Why are you here? I demanded. Kill him. We should kill him now, before he could hurt us any further. Kill him for that bolt he'd put through Asriel's chest, and the threat he'd made to Miriam and Draken, perhaps causing them to vanish and leave us to fight this war on our own.
The queens are snakes,
Jurian said, leaning against the edge of a table shoved by the wall.
They deserve to be butchered for their treachery. It took no effort on my part when Highburn sent me to woo them to our cause. Only one of them was noble enough to play the game, to know we'd been dealt a shitty hand, and to play it the best she could. But when she helped you, the others found out, and they gave her to the Adder.
Jurian's eyes gleamed bright. Not with madness, I realized, but clarity. And I had the sense of the world sliding out from beneath my feet as Jurian said,
He resurrected me to turn them to his cause, believing I had gone mad during the 500 years Amarantha trapped me. So I was reborn, and found myself surrounded by my old enemies, faces I had once marked to kill,
I found myself on the wrong side of a wall, with the human realm poised to shatter beneath it.
Jurian looked right to Moore, whose mouth was a tight line.
"You were my friend," he said, voice straining. "We fought back to back during some battles. And yet you believed me at first sight. Believed that I'd ever let them turn me."
"You went mad with Clithia. It was madness. It destroyed you."
"And I was glad to do it," Jurian snarled. "I was glad to do it. If it bought us an edge in that war. I didn't care what it did to me, what it broke in me. If it meant we could be free. And I have had 500 years to think about it. While being held prisoner by my enemy. 500 years more."
The way he said her name. So familiar and knowing.
"You played the villain convincingly enough, Jurian,"
Rhys purred. Jurian snapped his face toward Rhys.
"You should have looked. I expected you to look into my mind to see the truth. Why didn't you?"
Rhys was quiet for a long moment. Then he said softly,
"Because I didn't want to see her.
See any trace of Amarantha."
"You mean to imply," Moore pushed, "that you've been working to help us during this?"
"Where better to plot your enemy's demise, to learn their weaknesses, than at their side?"
We were silent. Lord Grayson and his father watching. Or the latter did. Grayson and Elaine were just staring at each other.
"Why this obsession to find Miriam and Draken?" Moore asked.
"It's what the world expects of me. What Highburn expects. And if he grants my asking price to find them... Draken has a legion capable of turning the tide in battle. It was why I allied with him during the war. I don't doubt Draken still has it trained and ready. Word will have reached him by now, especially that I'm looking for them."
A warning. The only way Jurian could send one... by making himself the hunter. I said to Jurian, "You don't want to kill Miriam and Draken." There was stark honesty in Jurian's eyes as he shook his head once.
"No," he said roughly. "I want to beg their forgiveness."
I looked to Moore. The tears lined her eyes, and she blinked them furiously away.
"Miriam and Draken have vanished," Rhys said. "There are people with them."
"Then find them," Jurian said. He jerked his chin to Azriel.
"Send the Shadow Singer. Send whomever you trust, but find them."
Silence.
"Look into my head,"
Jurian said to Rhys.
"Look, and see for yourself." "Why now?"
Rhys said.
"Why here?"
Jurian held his stare.
"Because the wall came down, and now I can move freely, to warn the humans here. Because..."
He loosed a long breath.
"Because Tamlin ran right back to Highburn after your meeting ended this morning. Right to their camp in the Spring Court, where Highburn now plans to launch a land assault on Summer tomorrow."
Chapter 54. Jurian was not my enemy. I couldn't wrap my mind around it, even as Rhys and I both looked. I didn't linger for long. The pain and guilt and rage, what he had seen and endured. But Jurian spoke true, laid himself bare to us. He knew the spot they planned to attack, where and when and how many. Azriel vanished without a glance at any of us, to warn Cassian and move the Legion. Jurian was saying to Moore,
"They didn't kill the Sixth Queen. Vasa. She saw through me, or thought she did, from the start,
warned them against us, told them that if I was reborn, it was a bad sign.